We're tackling your personal finance questions here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Your Money, and we're going to touch on a lot of areas like loans and payment relief to better understand what help is out there to get through this coronavirus crisis. How has your financial position changed? Did you have an emergency fund? Have you dipped into it? What questions do you have about prioritizing bills and dealing with creditors and banks? We're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Rathner is a personal finance writer for NerdWallet. It's a financial advice website that uses information from experts to solve everyday money problems. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who have lost income or suffered financially due to this crisis, does financial planning also stop? Does it take a hit?
No, because the whole purpose of financial planning is to help you in good times and in bad. That's why you have a plan, because, you know, they say that, you know, you make plans and God laughs, but the whole idea of thinking about different scenarios and how they could potentially play out for you is so you can feel confident that even when things don't go well, you have a course that you can stay on that can hopefully help you ride it out.
Oh, so you have plan A and plan B, plan C. So
yeah, I think most people are on plan X right now, Honestly. But yeah, I mean, that's really the point. It really helps you sleep at night to know that you can do this.
Well, especially with the stress, the anxiety, can you make a budget and think critically about managing money when you don't have any coming in?
Yes, you can. And it becomes very important to do that when you don't have money coming in, because, you know, you really need to think about, well, how much do I have now to float me for a couple weeks or a couple of months? And then what resources do I need to tap into right now to bring in additional money so I can hold out even longer and know how long I can last on the money that I have? And so it is really important to examine your spending and, see what options you have.
How can we access financial relief with a credit card company or credit card payments? Because so many people put their charges and their daily expenditures on a card.
All right. So if you are struggling to afford even the minimum payments on your credit card, call the number on the back of your card and talk to somebody at your credit card company. Right now, they're working with consumers on a one-on-one as needed basis to see what they could potentially do to help you afford your bills in the short term. So, you know, you can continue existing until you have a source of income again and can begin paying your bills as normal.
We've seen on their website, the front of their websites, that their call volume is really high and they've said that wait times are really long. Have you heard about wait times at all, or how people are able to access another human?
I mean, wait times across the board, across a bunch of different industries for customer service are really long right now. We're seeing this a lot with airlines, definitely financial services. So do as much of the legwork in terms of preparing your case, looking at the money you have coming in, kind of rethinking your budget, having everything in writing before you get on the phone, because, you know, you could expect to wait over an hour to talk to somebody. So do the work first, so by the time you actually get a human, you're ready to talk and you're ready to get down to business, because you don't want to waste all that time that you're sitting on hold.
Oh, so you might even have a little script prepared as to what you might say, and you have all your numbers right there.
Right. And, you know, maybe by examining your budget, you can figure out, well, I can't afford my minimum payment, but here's what I can afford to pay every month until things stabilize for me. And maybe they can work with you on that.
Mortgage and rent, they are a huge expense for people. What relief might be available with living expenses?
Right. So again, if you are struggling, a good first step is to either reach out to your mortgage lender or your landlord and talk about your situation with them and hope that they have something in place to help you out, keep a roof over your head, because that's really important. The CARES Act does spell out some you know, mortgage and rent relief for renters. It could potentially halt evictions for a period of time, depending on the type of mortgage your landlord has. And that could be very helpful to keep a roof over your head, even if you can't afford to pay your rent right now. And even if your landlord is unable to work with you on that. And for mortgages, it does offer some sorts of different types of mortgage relief, forbearance and loan modification. So either basically what that means in plain English is forbearance allows you to either reduce or eliminate your payment for a set period of time, and then you pay that back once that period of time ends. So it gives you a couple months of a break. And a loan modification is essentially changing the terms of your loan to lower your monthly payment.
Well, whether it's a mortgage or whether it's rent, if you still have to pay all those back payments by the time that deal is done, I mean, where are you going to have those thousands upon thousands of dollars to be able to make that big payment?
That is the issue, because your forbearance period might end, but it might not line up with you getting another job. And obviously, you know, if you've lost your job for several months and you're using up your savings to, you know, pay your bills, you're not going to have a store of savings available to make that large bill payment at the end of it. And so that's something people should keep in mind when they are looking into different types of hardship programs. Sometimes the terms are not favorable depending on your situation. And that's why you should really get all the information you need before you agree to anything and think about it, because it might not be worth the effort. You might need to think of another way to get by.
Sarah Rathner is with us. She's a NerdWallet personal finance expert as we explore economic relief options, the situations people are in, how to manage money in uncertain times. You can join in with your question. How has your financial situation changed as our world responds to this crisis? What types of relief do you need? Where have you found flexibility? Where have you found resources when it comes to managing bills and financial responsibilities? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Sarah, let's move on to student loans. What financial relief is out there for people with student loans?
So anybody with federal student loans. Private loans are a different story. So federal loans, it's an important distinction. They have, through the CARES Act, an automatic six-month forbearance. And that means that between March 13th of this year and September 30th of this year, no payments are due and no interest will build up, which is pretty unusual. That's a big break. And you don't have to pay a lump sum at the end of the six-month period. What it might end up doing is kind of extending the term of your student loan a little bit at the end, but you won't risk this giant payment, you know, in October of this year. So that's pretty huge. That gives a lot of people the opportunity to reapply those funds elsewhere. And if you have student loans that qualify, you know, this could be an opportunity to, you know, sometimes people have, you know, hundreds or even over $1,000 a month in student loans. Think about what you can do with that money over the next 6 months.
And what about those private loans? Where would you start there?
I would start by contacting the bank that issues the loans and talking with them about your situation and see if there's something they can do for you.
If you haven't lost income but do have significant federal student loans you're paying into, how might you approach this?
So you could keep making payments, but this is an opportunity. You know, if you had other financial goals that you haven't really been able to fund, this could be time to reapply that money elsewhere. You know, maybe you will use it to build up your emergency savings fund, which is really important if you don't have that. Maybe you could use that money to contribute to a Roth or traditional IRA this year. You know, you can contribute up to $6,000. So that could potentially create that opportunity for you. You know, there are lots of things you can do with that money. And if you don't want to continue making payments, then you could do something else, and that's okay.
So redeploy it in another way that is also a very smart financial move that would help you in the long term.
Exactly.
When you look at insurance, we were talking insurance earlier. We're seeing a lot of auto insurance carriers, companies offering relief to customers due to the pandemic. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of the major insurance carriers offer discounts on premiums, or if you pay your premiums twice a year, so you've already covered about 6 months of your premium for this year, they'll actually offer to refund you the overpayment now that there's the discount applied. I saw that with my insurance provider as well. We didn't get any sort of notification, but we reached out to our insurance agent and said, hey, you know, are you doing anything for this? And he actually said yes. So it was definitely worth the time to email if you haven't heard anything from your auto insurance provider. That's huge. That's a big savings. You know, people just aren't driving as much as they were when they were commuting to work. So it's really nice to see that auto insurance companies are recognizing that.
Another issue is scams. When you go into the IRS website, you do to get your payment tool, you know, you do have to put in your social security number. Are you concerned about scams out there?
Oh, yeah. And we're definitely starting to see coronavirus related scams. Financial scams are always a concern, even before all of this started. I mean, my advice is if you ever receive a phone call or an email from somebody claiming to be a representative of any sort of financial institution or other company with that you have an account with, don't answer the email, hang up the call, go to the company's website and find out the contact information they publish on their site, whether it's a phone number or an email. Get in touch with them and say, hey, did you get in touch with me? Did you email me? Did you call me? If they say yes, and sometimes that is the case, then you can proceed with whatever it was they were asking. But if they say no, then a lot of these companies have fraud departments where you can talk to somebody about your experience and even forward the email you received so they can investigate.
So you can report it. NerdWallet personal finance expert Sarah Rathner is our guide to how to make these financial decisions in these times. Do you wonder how to readjust your savings and your budgeting? Are you struggling to figure out how to get by if your income has been wiped out by the pandemic? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a moment with Sarah Rathner here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're figuring out how to navigate personal finance and budgeting amid all this uncertainty that's swirling around the crisis. And the truth is, managing money in the middle of a pandemic is an unprecedented dilemma. So what do you want to tackle? Is it income, daily living expenses, debts, retirement accounts, cash savings? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We have NerdWallet's Sarah Rathner, who stays with us. Sarah, let's look at retirement funds and investments. How should we be thinking about these types of investments and our retirement right now?
You know, I know that market volatility is really scary, but at NerdWallet, we talk about investing for the long term. And a long time horizon kind of smooths out all of those roller coaster lumps and bumps that you see in the market. And so if you're talking about investing for retirement, this is a long term goal, especially if you're younger and you're earlier in your career. But even on the day you retire, you know, you need your money to last hopefully 20 or 30 years so you can enjoy a nice long retirement. And that's still a long time horizon. You are still a long term investor.
But what about people who had planned to retire, I don't know, 6 months from now, next year, maybe in the next few months by, you know, December 30th or something?
Yeah, you know, that's a really scary thing. My in-laws retired late last year, so that's definitely something we've talked about with them. It is a good, you know, it's always a good time to talk to a financial advisor that you trust to get more personal information about your specific situation. But in general, you kind of want to think about your retirement in stages. You have the money that you need in the next couple of years, and then money you need sort of in the midterm, and then money you would need in the long term for 20 or 30 years down the line. And so the closer you are to needing that money, and this is true either in retirement or also out of it when you're still working, the less time horizon you have, the more conservatively you want to think about where to, you know, what to do with that money. So whether it's keeping it in, you know, a lower risk investment, or even in a savings account, then, you know, you can tap into that money without fearing market turns, you know. And then it's money that you need in the midterm and the long term that you keep invested in an appropriate vehicle.
So if you happen to have money to stash away right now in some type of investment fund, what should you be thinking about investing when it is a recession?
Well, you think about when it is you need to tap into that money. You know, let's say, for example, you're thinking about buying your first home in 3 years and you're saving up for a down payment. You probably don't want to invest the money for your down payment because you're going to need it so soon that you're probably not going to get great returns on that money. So that's an appropriate situation to be very conservative, even have it in savings. I bought my first home late last year, so that was definitely something that I did keeping a certain allocation of money in cash because I knew I would need to tap into it for my down payment. And then if you're talking about a longer term time horizon, you know, 5+ years in the future, really ride it out. This is scary, I know, but time in the market is important.
Timing, though, the market, you know, some people say, oh, you know, buy if you can right now when, you know, when stocks are so low. Do you at all get on that bandwagon?
Investing is always appropriate if your other financial goals are sorted out. So, you know, if you're paying off high interest debt, for example, it might not be the best time for you to start investing in taxable brokerage, right? But if you have money to spare after meeting your other financial obligations, then, you know, investing could be a good use of that money, depending on what your longer term goals are, you know, especially investing for retirement, that's really important. And you can invest for other reasons too.
Well, let's look at those day-to-day living expenses that just seem to be rolled into what it takes to live. Are there any small expenses that we might be able to get rid of right now in order to save some pennies?
Yeah, you know, everybody's spending habits have changed dramatically just in the last 2 months. You know, a lot of these expenses we had before, paying for gas to commute to work, paying for a gym membership, buying clothes because we're going into offices, you know, those expenses have gone way down. Other expenses have gone up. You know, you're buying more groceries for your family, maybe spending money on streaming services, activities for your kids now that they're at home all day, things like that. So this is a good time to look over where your money is going. And you can do that just by, you know, looking through a couple weeks worth of bank statements or credit card statements just to see what you're spending on now. And kind of figuring out, you know, where can I trim back? Do I really watch that particular streaming service? Do I really need to spend this much on groceries when we already have a full pantry? And, you know, you can also look at your fixed and variable costs. So it's not just about like wants and needs, but also what's in your control to change. So you might not be able to change your mortgage payment if assuming you can continue to afford your mortgage as it is and you don't need to get assistance with that. But you can change, you know, your food purchasing. You can change your use of utilities, electricity, gas, water. You can change your entertainment costs. So those variable costs are where you can find places to make changes.
Seems like cell phones, smartphones are just on the hip and absolutely necessary during this time because so much is happening online. What kind of negotiation can you do with your cell phone company?
I mean, you could definitely call and ask, you know, look over your usage of everything. Are you using, you know, do you need an unlimited data plan? Can you downgrade to something smaller? Do you need to upgrade your phone this year or will your phone last longer? Could you get by just by changing the battery out, for example, which is a fraction of the cost? You know, do you need the big fancy name brand phone plan, or can you look into plans that are significantly less expensive? And they are out there. You know, there are plans that cost like under $20 a month. You know, it's a good time to like right size your cell phone plan and really match it to your usage rather than what's kind of automatic and easy.
We're figuring out what is realistic financial planning, budgeting, what it looks like during a pandemic. We have Sarah Rathner with us, and she's from NerdWallet. You can join in. Still time for your questions about your personal finance situation at 800-642-1234. So, Sarah, financial stress often comes with financial instability. How do you advise people to cope when everyone is just so emotional at this time and emotions and money don't really mix?
Yeah, you know, this is I mean, I don't know. I don't know if any of us have seen a time like this in our lifetimes, and we hopefully never will again. It's kind of, I joke that there's no such thing as FOMO right now because nobody's doing anything. Mm-hmm. If you could rest easy in the idea that everybody understands what you're going through because everybody's going through the exact same thing right now, I think that brings me a lot of comfort. And just know that, we'll get through this. And for now, it's just important to be forgiving of yourself and forgiving of everyone around you because everybody's just kind of doing the best they can with a really bad situation.
If you're concerned about even getting food on the table, there have been a number of resources in communities, but also people stepping up, neighbors stepping up. How would you suggest that people reach out if they have never asked for help in the past?
Social media has been very helpful for this. You know, it's never been easier to kind of go public about what's going on in your life. It's okay to ask for that help. It's important. And people want to step up. People are looking for ways to be helpful of their neighbors, of small business owners in their communities. We're all in this together. And, you know, even if it's just, you know, dropping off groceries on your neighbor's front porch, you know, you could be doing a world of good just by helping somebody out in even a small way.
And that also makes you feel good at the same time.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there are lots of ways that you can do good right now. They don't necessarily have to cost you any money, but even just giving of your time, it's not possible to volunteer in traditional ways right now to go to a physical place and be around other people and volunteer with them because of social distancing. But there are still ways that you can help.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Rathner is a financial expert at NerdWallet. Just ahead, it's On Point as some places approach their third month of lockdown. We'll check back in with a quarantine researcher about what's working and what's not. That's On Point just ahead. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.